When I first saw that video, I won't lie to you, I was through my phone. What's it like being on Team Jamaica? I know you must get a whole bunch of bobsled, like, remarks here and there. Like, break it down, bro. When I heard, you sold the business for an M.
Yeah.
Bro, break that down. So,
yeah.
So you were 18, correct me if I'm wrong, and you sold a business for $1 million.
Yeah.
At 18.
Yeah.
Break that, what happened? Hello and welcome. Hustle Over Everything podcast. This podcast will receive stories, tips, and tactics from entrepreneurs who have done it. Today, we got CEO and founder of Swift Hockey, Zachariah Thomas in the building, prodigy, hockey player that's been playing nationally for Team Jamaica. You know, he's made $1 million as an 18-year-old. Listen, it's gonna be a dope conversation. Listen, this is more, I'd say, it's gonna have been a top conversation, honestly. So, tap in, it's gonna be a good one. Let's go. Zach, how are you, bro?
Doing good.
Yeah?
Doing good.
All right. What is the straw hat mean to you?
What is the what?
The straw hat.
The straw hat?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
The cowboy hat that you put on, that the teammates would put on you. You don't even remember that? When you were playing hockey after a game and they'd put on the hat on top of your head.
Wow. Wow, that's deep. That's a lot. I don't even know how to answer that. I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
Yeah.
When you're playing hockey and then they'd pass around the hat and be like, yo, shout out to you for
like player of the game.
Player of the game. What was that life like back then?
That was crazy. Playing hockey, you know what I mean, all white sport for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with those type of struggles and then locker room struggles where you hear a lot of stuff. You know what I mean?
No.
Like a lot of racist stuff by your teammates.
Really?
But they're not, like, they're just joking around. You know what I mean? Like, they're joking around in a sense. But you hear a lot of stuff by my own teammates that I just kind of wiped over my shoulder a lot.
Is that what that meant? Was there a meaning from that?
Sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, they'll give you something, like, they give you a banana. Like, but they're not meaning to do that. But, like, you hear giggles in the back and stuff. But
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
That's
that was for,
bro.
Like, the hat was for player of the game.
Yeah.
I don't barely remember, but the hat was for player of the game.
Yeah.
For the most part, but certain reasons why you get certain stuff, so.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. Because, you know, as a locker room guy, like, they like to joke on you. You know, they'll play games and, you know, teasing is a part of the thing, but tossing a banana is a bit crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, though, man. When did you start playing hockey? Was it when you were figure skating?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good that you know that. That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. No. So I started just figure skating, age of 10 years old. Figure skating all girls class, as you can imagine.
Damn.
What's going through my head. Dealing with the different type of issues I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
All girls. Good looking girls at that age, you know?
You're 10, you know for sure. That was when you first discovered the girls.
Yeah, word. So I'm seeing good looking girls at my age. But my teammates are walking by.
Listen, the more subscribers we have, the better the guests get. So please hit subscribe. Let's get back into the show.
Sometimes I'm on the ice.
Yeah.
See me on the ice full of girls and like tinkers, like wearing stuff on their head.
Yeah.
So that was embarrassing, but. That's kind of where I started hockey and playing on Oshawa.
Word. And from playing hockey, you know, you've actually developed quite a lot, you know. From what I've done my research, you know, you've been able to travel around the country, around North America. What was it like being in, like, Nova Scotia and PEI?
For sure.
Playing hockey? What was that like?
For sure. Being in PEI is crazy.
Really?
I was there for 3-4 months. I was in a small town called Bathurst.
Okay.
I know you're probably not familiar with it.
Never heard of it, bro.
It is nothing. It is nothing.
What do you mean, bro?
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, it was boring. Sat in my room. My billet. You know a billet?
No, what's that?
So basically, when you play hockey all over the place, you live with a family.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I lived with one man in his house on the water. It was pretty nice. But I just stayed in my room.
Damn, bro.
Didn't leave.
Yeah.
Nobody else was really going anywhere because nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And it was winter, so
You stayed in PEI during the wintertime.
Yeah.
So is it none to do?
Nothing
to do. Was it the same in Nova Scotia?
Yes, yeah.
You stayed in the room all the time. Yeah. This was hockey, home.
Yeah, exactly.
But then Florida must have been different.
Florida was the nicest experience.
All right. Break down Florida.
Yeah, for Florida day to day, as you guys can imagine, it's you play hockey, you go to the beach, you play some more hockey, you go to the beach, you go shopping. Shopping malls all over the place. Sometimes I'll drive into Miami. Mm-hmm. Get a day off. I'm driving into Miami, seeing that. Mm. And it's warm. Mm-hmm. It can't be warm, so.
That's a fact. And how you were in high school during this time?
Yes, yeah. That was a grade 11.
Grade 11?
Yeah.
And from what from my research too, is this when you started your first business?
Technically, I would say.
Okay.
So I've always been in business.
Yeah.
Like selling bracelets, selling hats from age of 13.
Yeah.
I got suspended in school for selling hats.
Really?
For a whole week, I got suspended at the age of 13. My teachers are buying hats and bracelets off me, but you know, you can't sell anything in school.
Yeah.
So I got suspended for that, but I've been always dabbling in business, selling, but my real first online business was grade 10, grade 11.
Word. I relate to that, bro. When I was in school, I was flipping. I was talking about it earlier, flipping gum. I was also flipping beef patties at the time. Because I went to a high school where there's no meat that could be served because it was a vegetarian high school. So I snuck in beef patties.
Vegetarian high school?
Yeah, I went to vegetarian high school. Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it was a religious high school. It was called Kingsway College.
Okay.
Because Adventists, they don't really eat meat as often. Yeah, they're usually either pescatarian or vegetarian. So there was no meat throughout the whole high school. And plus, it's like a safety thing, too. Mm. So I would sneak in beef patties and hold it in my freezer in my dorm room. Then whenever mans would come through, it's like snap.
Yeah, you were the guy then. you were the guy.
Word, I was flipping a few beef patties, bro. Then I got booked and they wouldn't let me do it either, you know? So I relate to that a lot, bro. What was your parents' reaction? Because I know your parents are like Jamaican, right?
Yeah, my parents are Jamaican. So they're hard, but both my parents are entrepreneurs.
Oh, really?
So they've both been doing business. My mom was the one bringing me to the dollar store to buy stuff to flip.
Really?
So when I got suspended, she was okay.
Yeah.
But they were always supportive of my business mindset.
That's hard. That's dope. What do your parents do?
My dad owns a alarm security company.
Okay.
So, and then my mom works for a talent. She runs a talent agency.
Wow.
So she puts talent in old folks' home because they need paint night or
bingo,
all that type of stuff. She organizes that stuff.
Got you. I mean, that's gonna stay in business forever.
Yeah, so. For sure.
I feel that.
Everybody gets old, so.
Exactly, bro. So now, tell me about the business that you launched when you were in grade 11.
For sure. That was e-commerce.
Okay, that was the first e-commerce store.
Yeah, for sure. E-commerce, I was literally trying everything.
Yeah.
Bikinis, I tried girls' shorts, girls' bras, girls' underwears.
You stayed in girls, eh?
Because I knew girls shop the most.
Mm.
So, when I'm first starting business, I'm like, I know girls shop the most. Let me try everything possible for girls.
Mm-hmm.
None of those hit for the most part, getting one sale a day, but it was paying the bills. Like I was paying the store fee per month. So I'm like, all right, I'll leave it up. So each of those stores, 10 stores paying the bills. I made a teddy bear store, that one hit. Mm-hmm. And that's where I started to see I have something.
Mm-hmm.
So then all those businesses gradually grow and they're not just paying the store fee anymore. And then they're all doing pretty good.
So from what I heard, you sold the business for an M.
Yeah.
Bro, break that down. So
yeah.
So you were 18, correct me if I'm wrong, and you sold a business for $1 million.
Yeah.
At 18.
Yeah.
Break that. What happened?
No. So I can't disclose the name, obviously.
Okay.
For some reasons, but so I grew this business.
What was the business in?
The hockey industry.
Okay.
There's another hockey industry business.
Okay.
I grew this business. You know, when you're in a business and you know the industry so well, you know what hits on people, you know what people want to buy. So I grew this business and it was going crazy. That was my first real winner. I'm seeing 100K days. I saw 100K day.
How are you making 100K days, bro?
And I'm like, Because the thing is, with me, I've never done paid ads. I know you know your paid ads pretty well. I've never touched one in my life.
How are you driving traffic?
I was just organic.
Through what, TikTok?
Instagram. I didn't even use TikTok.
All right, so break down the Instagram game. How are you getting 100K days off of Instagram, bro?
So basically, I have the industry already. In a little bit. So my platform itself, I have people, Connecticut, Florida, all over the place because I played there. You know what I mean? Mm. So I was posting stuff about this brand. My boys in Florida were posting it, boys in Connecticut, boys in Nova Scotia, boys in Thunder Bay, boys in Oshawa. And that's because of the product and what it was selling at. It was something that people could not get. Mm. That's the best way I can put it without disclosing more.
Okay.
But it was something people couldn't avoid buying.
Okay.
So with that, doing regular Instagram stuff, I was doing it at the time, and just stick sale.
Yeah.
Or post somebody shooting something, or playing with the item, whatever the situation was.
Yeah.
It was going crazy.
All right.
But it was because I had that.
You had the network already.
I had the network.
From playing hockey in all different locations.
So if I didn't play hockey, I wouldn't have that.
Okay.
But because I had Connecticut in a chokehold, Massachusetts, Boston, Florida, I had a little bit in Texas, Quebec. It was everywhere. The whole hockey street. And then also Europe.
Really?
Because a lot
you
of
went
my
to
guys.
Play in Europe? Or
no,
your boys
so,
went to
yeah,
Europe?
Yeah, my boys in Florida, they went to Europe because that's where they live.
Okay.
So in the summer they went to Europe. They're pushing it too, and that's one of the biggest worldwide businesses in the industry.
Damn, bro. All right. So, did you learn anything about Instagram that you can share with the audience during that time?
Just staying consistent.
Nah, hell nah, hell nah. You ain't doing that. Nah. Keep it a buck, bro. I saw you had the answer in your mind. I moved that to the side. I said, nah, give us the sauce, bro. Don't do that.
Staying consistent, honestly. That's the honest answer. It's, at the time, it wasn't when reels were a thing.
Okay.
So I was posting content, and a lot of it to back everything was because of my network.
Okay.
If I didn't have that network, Instagram wouldn't have worked, I would say. Mm-hmm. But every time I posted something, it would be something so just dumb, out of the ordinary, random post. Because I had no editing. I am not too creative of a person either. So I'm posting something random. I'm getting probably 100 reposts.
Off something random. So were you being creative with the posts you were making? And like, yo, I'm going to hit him with something different to stand out?
It's almost the same post. So I'm the same post. But then also because that's happening, the repost, my SEO is growing, and just the way the brand was, it was a snowball. It's just a snowball effect. It's just growing, growing, growing.
It was
growing.
Just product market fit, essentially.
Sorry?
It was just product market fit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Interesting.
It was something every player needed.
Yeah.
But there wasn't anything, and there was nobody doing it.
Okay.
I just ended up hitting it first.
Okay. First to market to
Yeah.
All right. So talk about, as much as you can share, about getting acquired.
For sure.
When did they hit you up? Like, how did you know that this was real? Like, break that part down.
For sure. So I'm getting, as you could imagine, it's me. I have one of my boys, 16 years old. No, I guess he's
nuts.
He's 17 now.
Yeah.
So he would have been 14. He's dealing with all the customer service. You have to just, we're dealing with probably 100,000 emails a month, calls on our, I have six phones at that time. I'm getting calls, business calls here for customer service. This 14-year-old, I have him, I'm paying him monthly to deal with all of this. Because I was dealing with this, I'm like, no, can't do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not dealing with all these calls and emails. Pay this 14-year-old to do all of this, and he did all of it. He's answering all those calls. We get calls all the time for people wondering what our price is to sell out. And I was like, no, you know what? I really don't want to.
No, you're getting caught. People are trying to buy the company.
Yeah, people are trying to buy every day. I really don't want to. And then one of the competitors came to us. One of the competitors that were kind of growing, they have a chokehold on the industry is the best way to put it. They made an offer to buy us out because we were technically ruining their brand in a sense. That's the best way I can put it. We were taking probably 50% of the market, and that's their brand. So when we had that chokehold and they have that much money, they would just buy us out. And then it was also a thing. The only reason I sold, because as I was saying, we're doing certain numbers that I didn't need to sell, obviously. But they would have beat me out eventually.
Yeah.
Because of who they are, they would have kicked me out of the industry, no problem. It's like facing like a Nike.
Like an Apple, yeah.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like
they're acquiring you by being polite.
Yeah, exactly. Word, I'm talking to my mom and I'm like, I don't want to do this. But my mom is explaining to me that if you don't do this, they're going to make you get out. And you're not going to get anything. You know what I mean? That they're going to try and force me out every sort of way.
Yeah.
So I ended up giving it up.
So did they do like a due diligence process where you have to like hand over your whole Shopify and all that kind of stuff?
So just because nothing was organized. I'm a kid, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I have everything going into my personal bank account. I'm spending like crazy. I'm not even going to get into what type of months I was. Bro. I was spending like, back then I probably had 800 pairs of shoes. I had three cars at that time. Like, I'm going like crazy. Because I'm 17 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah, with 100K months.
Yeah, I'm 17.
What were you pocketing profit?
The margins were 60%.
Sheesh. So at 100K months, you're pocketing 60K.
Yeah, 57% margins. Sheesh. So.
Damn, bro. Now you were going crazy.
Yeah.
Bro. All right. So then you... When it comes to getting the acquired, let's put an end to that chapter. You know, they approach you, they do due diligence and see that everything's going into your bank account. You're like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
We're still going to acquire it because we need this company.
Yeah.
What was it like when the check hit your bank account? Like, walk me through that process.
So it was over time. It was over 6 months.
Okay.
So they broke it down within 6 months. So I was getting a lump sum every 6 months. But the thing is, I was going so crazy that it wasn't anything like crazy in my mind, if that makes sense.
What was the craziest shit you did in that time?
Like buying?
Yeah, spending money.
I bought my car outside. That was the biggest waste of money I've ever spent.
What car is it?
BMW X7.
Okay.
So that one was 170,000. I fully souped it up, everything.
You were going crazy.
That was just stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Now what's crazy?
Yeah.
I tried to sell the car a couple days ago.
Yeah.
70,000 they want from it.
Really?
I'm there because I blew so much money back then. I don't even have, I don't have it like I used to in a sense. And I'm just depressed. Like I'm hurting myself.
Wow.
70, like I lost half the value. But yeah, I'm just spending like, it wasn't even, you don't see what you're spending. Like big purchases, they happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like I bought the X7, I bought an X4, a 3 Series. I was just going crazy in that sense. But it was like, I'm eating steak every day back then. I'm bringing 10 people to the keg and I'm buying the full meal. I'm buying the full meal. That was the problem. I'm buying the full meal. And we'd go to the mall.
Yeah.
Like with my boys and stuff, I would go. Everybody would be like loaded.
Wow.
AirPods were going crazy.
You get an AirPod, you're Oprah too.
Everybody get an AirPod.
You get an AirPod, you get an AirPod.
I was just giving everybody everything. Wow. That was the problem. And after I checked my American Express, you don't notice what you're spending until you really check. And it wasn't like I'm making massive purchases. I bought watches, I bought expensive shoes, whatever the case was, but it was more so of just every day it was just something around probably $100 an hour, $1,000, probably $2,000-$3,000 a day on a light day on stuff I don't even like, stuff that were need, small.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I don't realize it's just eating me away.
Products. Yeah. Damn, bro. That's insane. All right. So then when do you get around to making Swift?
Yeah, so Swift is my baby.
Yeah. So how long of a period from selling the company to starting Swift? Was it like immediate, like, all right, this company's done?
No, yeah.
Or like, so, did you done off all your money first, and then you're like, all right, Swift time? Or is it like
Well, in between then, I still had all those smaller companies running. Okay. All the girls' companies, all the teddy bears.
Oh, you never let those go.
So I never let them go.
You still have those today?
No.
Okay.
So, well, I guess now they're going, but I'm not really involved in it because I have a team that's...
Yeah, it's all in Swift.
Yeah, it's all managing everything in a sense. But Swift is something that I was more of a passion project.
Okay.
After, honestly, I know it sounds cliche, but after having all that money, it didn't mean anything. Mm. Like, I blew the money. It was really just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't doing a difference to anybody.
Yeah.
I wasn't changing anybody's life. So I'm like, I gotta do something. Yeah. It wasn't fulfilling.
For sure.
You know, when people say like, you buy your first car. I bought my first 3 Series BMW at that time. I was happy. I bought the X4. That was like, I bought the X7, which was triple the value. And it lasted a day.
Yeah.
I bought the watch. It lasted a day, and just stuff like that kept happening. And it was just like, I gotta do something. It's not fulfilling.
Yeah.
So I started reading the Bible a lot more.
Okay.
I started getting more into that because I needed to find more fulfillment. And then starting Swift was more of, I can help people and stay in the industry, mm-hmm. which is important to me.
Where before we get right into Swift, I'm curious to know what was the reaction from your parents, you know, during this time period.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Like, were you buying things for your parents too? Did you, like, how did you deal with that in your whole
life? For sure. So it's a weird situation. My mom and my dad weren't. They were doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. My mom and my dad were doing pretty well, I would like to say.
Yeah.
My mom has a Tesla, like the ones with the butterfly doors.
Okay.
She had that before everybody.
Okay.
She had that back in 2018 when nobody had that. They were doing pretty well. So it's nothing I would say, Mom, you want anything? No. So I ended up buying her, like, I bought her probably 100 pairs of Yeezys. She had a closet filled of every single Yeezys.
Okay.
Because she's like, these are comfy. I want them. And it was just like, it was just small stuff all over the place. But she never, like, there's nothing that I could give her was the problem. Because she made it in her life that she had everything she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Helped her buy, like, she's really into working out, bought gym equipment. I have everything small. My dad is a minimalist. Doesn't need a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him, I don't even, like, really just nothing. Like, the odd time I'd bring something home, a cup, a mug.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that would fulfill them.
Yeah.
Because I guess maybe I went through, and nothing's fulfilling, but there's just nothing that would do it for them.
Did you ever go back to Clarendon? Did you ever go back to Clarendon in Jamaica?
Oh, no. No. That was a different question. You're catching me lacking a little bit. But
right.
No, my parents are there. Yeah. My parents go back all the time.
Okay.
Me and my mom hate it. Like, if we want to go to Jamaica, we want to go and live on the resort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Live it up.
My dad's the one that wants to go visit family. Me and my mom are like, no, you can leave us alone.
Yeah,
we're staying at the resort.
Yeah.
Because we want that service. You know, when you go on vacation, you want to enjoy yourself, get the food. We don't want to go out and do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of our situation. Never visited family.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents have, it looks like the White House in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they have massive houses down there. And,
oh, sure.
But we never went to
see it. The country can be like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the country, I'm from a part in Jamaica where it's like super country.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like past, there's like the roads where there's potholes. And there's the roads where it's like a little bit messy, then there's like the pure dirt roads.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always been the pure dirt roads.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So going back there, it's a whole thing. Yeah. So I feel you on that, bro.
No, I need to experience it though eventually.
For sure. It's grounding when you go there.
Really?
You know? For sure. I highly suggest it, bro.
Yeah.
Like, going back there, it gives you a sense of belonging, you know?
Hmm.
And would you agree?
It's 10 times better than a resort.
Yeah. Really?
So you've never been off the resort.
Like, we take a nice walk off, like, like, we
take a little walk
take like off. A maybe 20-minute walk off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, we see, like, the village and everything, like, what everybody's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk back.
Being in country makes me want to move there.
Really?
That's how.
Really?
I ain't like that at all. Me in the country, I'm like, the country.
Yeah.
I'm staying in the city.
Yeah.
But honestly, though, there's a peaceful element to Jamaica that's, like, super calming. It's slower, you know. So like after the hustle and bustle of like running around here, like having that as a way to just clear your mind out is a good process, you know.
No, my
the beach does that too a little bit. Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, my parents go. My parents would take 3-hour walks in the morning.
3-hour walks.
Right off the resort. Even when I was there, they're taking 3-hour walks. They met a family actually.
Mm-hmm.
A family of three little girls, two boys, mm-hmm. and the parents. They live in like a hut.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the most heartwarming thing. I stopped going to Jamaica not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
Just because I was always just work recently.
Mm-hmm.
But we brought a bunch of Swift apparel back. We gave it all to their kids. And that was something heartwarming for me, and I wasn't there.
Mm.
And my mom showed me pictures of their house. I'll show you after if I can find it. But
I bet.
My mom showed me pictures of their house, and there was literally like stuff you'd see in like Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Like huts, like paper huts, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It was just crazy that they were living in that day to day, but they were happy, which was really weird.
I feel that, bro. I mean, it's going to hit different when you go there and then realize you're playing for Team Jamaica.
Yeah.
It's going to hit a lot more different.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, let's talk about Team Jamaica before you get into Swift. You know, like, what's it like being on Team Jamaica? I know you must get a whole bunch of bobsled, like, remarks here and there. Like, break it down, bro.
Yeah, you could imagine the bobsled ones, but.
Yeah,
Team Jamaica's crazy. It's playing with all black hockey players is the craziest thing I could have ever imagined, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really lose, which is what's crazy. We just lost our first two games within 5-6 years last year.
Wow.
So we really don't. We're a great team, which is absolutely crazy.
Okay.
An all-black hockey team that's beaten everybody else.
That's amazing to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing to hear.
Yeah.
So are you guys playing other countries?
Yeah. So we play all the countries, all the smaller countries, Mexico, Lithuania, Spain, okay. Italy, like all those type of countries we'll play.
Okay.
And we beat them up.
Really? I love to hear it.
Yeah, we
that's fire.
We lost last time. I'm not going to list the country because it's embarrassing, but we lost to one country twice. But they had NHL draft ranking players.
Okay.
So they were a really good team, but the games were really close though. But we have a really good team.
So do y'all often play in Toronto or where do y'all usually play, or do you travel for games?
We travel. Florida.
Yeah.
So Florida is normally where the tournaments are for the most part every year. We have been to New York. That was our last tournament where we lost.
Okay.
We don't like to talk about it, but
yeah.
New York when we lost, that was a great experience also.
Okay.
But it's mostly Florida every year.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in the day, we were in Toronto. We're doing a little bit more of local tournaments to start building the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of it.
So you said that was a great experience. What was your greatest hockey experience?
My greatest hockey experience was probably when I was 10 years old. No, I'd say 12 maybe.
The semifinals?
Yeah.
I did my research, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy. No, that's crazy. Yeah. No, it's that was it.
Okay.
Scoring that final goal.
Yeah.
It was, and our team, the thing was, our team sucked. Like, we had one win all season.
Oh, shoot.
And we're in a tournament that's a bad tournament,
mm-hmm.
but now we can actually compete with teams for once.
Mm-hmm.
So we're competing, and then it gets to semifinals. And back in the day, they do 5-on-5, 4-on-4, 3-on-3, 2-on-2, 1-on-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they break it down. So we were at 3-on-3, and 3-on-3 back then was just, it wasn't a thing. Now it's normalized in hockey, but 3-on-3 back in the day wasn't a thing. I get a pass. I can vividly remember this. It's I get a pass from one of my boys, and he passes it to me. I drive wide. I score. And that was the craziest moment I've ever experienced.
Because that's one of the, it was like a buzzer beater type of thing?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And that was game over.
Gosh, because it was like the
yeah,
the
last it was overtime.
Shot. Overtime, yeah. So you say that, yeah, it was overtime.
Yeah, that was game over at that point.
That's what you're saying, because 3-3-3, 2-2-2. That's what you do in overtime. Yeah, because of overtime. Got you.
We ended up losing in the finals.
Okay.
That semifinals was more than.
But that win, that last minute buzzer beater win, where everyone's cheering you, like, this is my moment.
Yeah, this is my. That's the only. Like, I'm not. Sometimes I score goals, mm-hmm. but I wasn't really always a goal scorer too. Mm-hmm. So me scoring that
defense,
goal,
yeah.
So I was playing defense most of the time.
Bro, I had that same kind of experience, man. Yeah. When I was playing soccer. I was goalie and forward, but predominantly goalie.
And goalie and forward.
Yeah, yeah. People don't sleep on that mix. It's the smartest mix you can have. Because if you're a goalie and forward, you know all the tricks to get on the goalie. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah.
Like
yeah,
people,
yeah.
A lot of people will think that like top corner is the easiest goal to score. Because it's the hardest goal to score. But aiming it to the top corner, you're usually going to miss. But the easiest goal to score is actually bottom corners because it's on the ground, so you can just kick it on the ground, and it's harder to get there because it's far from the goalie. Yeah. So that's like an example, you know what I'm saying? But it was penalty shootouts, and I was the last one, and someone tried a top corner, and I hit the top corner, bro. Like jumped out, like stretched out, like literally like one of those slow motion.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt that and stopped that.
I would have been going nuts.
And that was the OISL finals to make it to the OISL league. It's like the Ontario finals, bro. Best thing ever.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into Swift.
All right.
Well, what was the first time you realized you have a business with Swift?
The first time I actually knew it was a business.
Yeah.
I saw somebody random with the stick.
Hmm.
How was the situation? I was starting something. I'm like, I don't know if this is going to hit because it's a brand now. Mm-hmm. I've never really dealt with branding something. It's always reselling products or a product that's already existing in the market, but brand something so different that it's a new market I have to tap into. So we start this product. We start this name. Taking photo shoots and my friend's ice rink in the backyard, doing everything possible to kind of get this brand started. Going to the mall, stitching on hoodies to get mm-hmm. that done also. We're doing everything possible to start the brand from the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then we start selling a little bit. I get 10 sticks in, we start selling. I show up to the rink. This was the weird situation. I show up to the hockey rink. I'm about to go on the ice with somebody. I see somebody with my stick. And this was in the early days. And I'm like, wow. Like, that's the craziest thing. And this guy doesn't even know that that's me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's skating around playing with me with the stick. He's chirping me, saying this. Mm-hmm. Yo, you suck, all this. But he's using my stick.
Mm-hmm.
So that was crazy. That was the moment where I knew I have something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making a difference for sure. So
okay. So then, when did you like start getting traction with it? Because I know that's like your first, like, all right, this is valuable and this is a product market fit. But when you start getting real traction with it and start like developing,
for sure, the traction was. It was hard, honestly.
Really,
this was a hard business to get under. The hardest I've ever done because we're competing with guys like, as I'm saying, the Nike.
Yeah.
The Nike and the industry. So trying to get people to use other brands that are going at a cheaper price, but trying to keep there is hard.
Mm.
Nobody wants, like, as much as we love Walmart, nobody wants to shop there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to wear their clothes because of what their brand represents. So getting under that thing where people are seeing our brand as high quality, but we're just trying to sell at a cheap price to help you guys out, mm-hmm. that was a hard thing. We weren't getting, it took a long time to get traction, mm. but it was a snowball effect.
Was there a pivotal moment that you realized, oh yeah, this is when it started to really hit the scene? Was it Dragon's Den or was it something else?
It just kept rolling.
Yeah.
That's the honest truth.
Yeah.
Dragon's Den, honestly, I know you've had other people that had done Dragon's Den. It did not help us.
Really?
Like, it did not grow our business in a sense where we got like 100 sales after.
Yeah.
It did not do that to us. What happened though, it certified us.
Oh, for sure.
that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
People knew, oh, this brand's legit.
Mm-hmm.
I can trust them. I'm going to get my product now. That's what people assumed Well, we do get products, but that's what people thought because we were on Dragon's Den that now we're certified.
Yeah.
Didn't help us get sales though. Mm-hmm. What happened, which is crazy. So we cut up Dragon's Den. I don't know if you saw our social medias.
Mm-hmm.
We cut up that as much as we can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have one video that hit a million views on Instagram and on TikTok. That, and then we had other videos that are all around a million, mm-hmm. probably 10 videos around a million. That's what blew us up.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't too far. That wasn't too long ago. Mm-hmm. That's what we went from doing probably $5,000 a month, maybe $5,000 to $10,000 a month to $30,000, $40,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month. People are seeing our brand
mm-hmm.
and they're hearing brand story. So that was the coolest. That's when we changed.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you something, bro. Because, bro, honestly, when I first saw that video, I won't lie to you, I almost threw my phone. Because you're like, I'm part of Team Jamaica. I'm getting a deal with the NHL. But the value of my company is $250,000.
Yeah.
Bro, I almost threw my phone when I saw that. Why did you have such a low valuation?
I wanted a partner
mm-hmm.
because I never went to school.
Mm-hmm.
I have no real business background. Now I'm getting into a point where I need mergers. I need all of this. And also I really wanted a deal on national TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I've watched thousands of episodes of Dragon's Den and all of that. And I see other people that they come in at a high valuation and they can't get a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Cause the way it works, they can't lowball your number.
Mm-hmm.
So if I come in with 70,000, they can't say 60.
Yeah.
They can only change the percent. So I knew I have to go in at 70 cause I know they can all give me 70
mm-hmm.
for the most part. Like 70 is not too much. They will agree to that to help another black entrepreneur mm-hmm. at 70,000. So that's why I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was to get a deal. That's what was important.
This podcast is brought to you by Narai Cellars Wine, one of the only black-owned wines in Canada. You already know what to do. Hit the link below and scoop up not one, not two, but a case of wine. This is the White Field Blenders wine. So make sure you go scoop that. Hit the link below. And it's NaraiCellars.ca. Let's get back into the show. So tell me about the strategy going into Dragon's Den.
Sure. It was a weird strategy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give you too much information when you go on. Because a lot of the times, have you watched Dragon's Den before?
Bro, obviously. What?
Okay, of course.
Grew up on that shit.
They obviously put some people on to fail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're putting businesses on that are just ridiculous because mm-hmm. show it's TV. It has to be entertaining in a sense. So they don't give you too much
mm-hmm.
on what to do. You have a producer working with you, but they don't help you in any sort of way in a sense because they want it to be pretty raw. That's where I had to do a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
I watched probably 2,000 hours of Dragon's Den.
Mm.
It was on throughout my whole day. Like I couldn't look away and not see Dragon's Den.
Mm.
So I studied as much as possible to get my valuation. It wasn't a value of the company. It was a value of the company for Dragon's Den. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you had to make it look like it was an easy buy. They couldn't say no.
Exactly. Because a lot of these articles, NHL gives us an article. The Athletic gave us an article, Sports Illustrated, because we received the deal on Dragon's Den. It's not because we didn't receive a deal. We wouldn't have got anything.
Yeah.
We would have got no press, no nothing. We received a deal. So I'd rather go in again and say $10,000 for 50%. And get that deal because that press gives us that.
Yeah.
Even the videos and the content we made off that, we can't make content off of us failing.
Earned media.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't make content off of, oh, you didn't get a deal. Like, nobody's going to watch that.
Yeah.
So it was something where I devalued my company because it was Dragon's Den.
Got you. So what you say is worth now?
So at least six million.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Especially with the NHL deal.
Yeah.
You know, and your background in selling a company, I think you could easily get that. So now, walk us through the first hires. You know, how much money were you making when you got the first hires? Because that's where a lot of our entrepreneur audience is at.
Yeah.
Where they're starting to make money, but they want to make their first hires, but don't know like the right steps. So break that down for you.
No, so I was always contracting. I had so many businesses.
Yeah.
I'm on Fiverr.
Yeah.
I'm contracting every single person. And it was getting to a stage where I need somebody that's going to speak the same language as me. That was honestly the barrier. So with Swift, let's say I made $10,000 this month.
Mm-hmm.
I am willing to put $10,000 on employees so I can free up my time because I need more money to fund Swift.
Mm-hmm.
I made $20,000 the next month. I'm taking all of that money and putting that on employees because employees are going to help me grow the business and also free up my time. If my time's free, I can do a lot of the other stuff that the employees aren't doing to grow the business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about freeing up time. Right now we're doing really well in paying the employees, paying myself. It's because I made those sacrifices that I'm not gonna make money for 6 months. I'm not gonna profit off of nothing for 6 months and then keep hiring. And that's how you grow a business.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you make one of the biggest businesses in the world. That's how all of them get started. They take every little profit, they hire somebody.
Because
that's how you need different talents.
Yeah.
People that I don't know marketing well, we hire marketing. I don't know SEO, I don't know website design well, we hire full-time staff for that. So,
is that how you're growing the company right now? Because I notice you're not spending any dimes on marketing. Is SEO the main way that you're getting more clients, more customers?
No. To be honest, it's all Instagram.
Really?
We're TikTok too, I guess, but we're having the craziest organic growth, which is nice. No ads, as I said, which is very nice. Saves a lot of money in my pocket long term.
Yeah.
But it's really, it's just organic, which is nice.
Dope, bro. All right, so what have you learned about growing a business that you can share with the audience that's been like one of the pivotal moments that's helped you scale your team up to 10 people?
For sure. Growing a business is, it's just being smart. It's not being greedy. The reason why I can say this is because, as I said before, I've been dumb.
Yeah.
It's hard to grow a business, but when you grow a business, being financially smart is the hardest thing possible, from my perspective at least. I'm going, even now I'm making certain amount of figures. It's not spending it and spending it in the right areas. Back then, I would make much more. Blow that on a car, blow that on a pair of shoes, blow that on food.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So being financially smart and making sure I can pay my employees every month is important, and pay my bills, pay my office rent, buy $100,000 worth of inventory every single month on recurring so I can fund this business, buying apparel, having stock, paying for as much as you can imagine. So that's kind of the issue. That's kind of the biggest thing with the business. And then also it's platforms. We stay very organized. I'm not an organized person, I would say, but now we're on every single platform to stay organized where my team knows what they're doing. I know what I'm personally doing, which is important every day. I know what I'm waking up to. I know what I'm doing. My calendar's laid out. Sometimes I'm not a calendar person before. I would have meetings. I would know 5 minutes before I have meetings. I'm getting a call from the person I have a Zoom meeting with and I'm on the road. So that was kind of my problem. I was missing a lot of opportunities back then because I wasn't organized.
Yeah. And it's really good that it happened to you then, so early, like before you hit 20, you had all that life experience.
Yeah.
So now you can really like take that and have the back of your mind of, all right, I've been through that. Let's not do that again.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And fix yourself up now. So like as you grow into the entrepreneurship, like team rest, 13, 14, 30, 40, 50, you can really like have everything in flow.
Exactly, yeah. If I was smarter back then, I would have been in a much different situation, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
My business would be a lot bigger than what it is, but I learned.
Yeah, how much money can you put on that lesson though, you know?
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'd rather learn this while I'm 16 rather than when I'm 30, and it's hard for me to make that bounce back in a sense.
Yeah.
So.
Most definitely, yo. All right, so as we work towards wrapping up, man, where can people find you?
Find me at Zachariah Thomas everywhere, Zach Thomas. That's where you find me, or you find me at Swift Hockey.
Most definitely. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, hustle you can't control. So control your grind and control your life. I'm Alex.
I'm Zach.
That's the show, y'all. Peace.